You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
The MLB trade deadline is approaching, and the Locked On MLB YouTube channel will be streaming the Hot Stove live. 2 hours of MLB trade analysis from our Locked On lineup of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB on YouTube and tune in July 30th beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Zamperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, thanks for holding it down yesterday, and we got a day off from baseball.
Yeah, happy to do it. I missed you. Nice to be back talking to you. And, we go through these mood swings when we have days off, but I think you and I probably both were ready for a day off this time.
Yeah, definitely ready for that, and definitely good for the Dodgers because they need guys to get healthy that aren't on the IL and guys that pitched over the weekend. So hopefully they are rested and ready to go for the Giants series with no game. We asked for questions. We're going to get a mailbag episode going. We got a lot of questions, so a lot of them about the trade deadline, but not a lot of them about the same. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device, play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, one little bit of news. Chris Taylor was named the NL Player of the Week. On the AL side, it was Kike Hernandez. So one Dodger utility player, one former Dodger utility player. And then Max Muncy is back from paternity leave, and Sheldon Noisy will not be striking out for the Dodgers in the next couple days, hopefully. Sticking with that, let's take a question from @Lawrence_Rios. He says, how big a contract will it take to keep Chris Taylor?
Yeah, you know, I talked a little bit about this on yesterday's episode, and I assume that Kike's contract is, you know, the low part of it. The problem, the hard part is, I think Chris Taylor is a better player than Kike Hernandez, not as good defensively, maybe, or at least not, you know, Kike is potential gold glove at second base. Chris Taylor is just excellent at a lot of different positions. The big thing that makes it hard for me to guess is with the CBA expiring, that always has such a big impact on contracts. You know, what's the new CBA going to look like? What's the luxury tax going to look like? What's the roster thing? You know, we don't know how many roster spots are going to be next year. I wouldn't be shocked if they add a 27th or even a 28th roster spot in the new CBA, which would affect, you know, playing a guy like Chris Taylor who can play everywhere. You know, maybe it lessens his value a little bit. Lessens overall utility guys' value if you have more roster spots. So there's a lot of different things like that. But for me, it seems pretty clear that, you know, he's deserving of a multi-year contract, you know, 3-year deal probably, and good money. You know, because whether he's playing the same position every day or playing different positions, he can start every day. He can hit righties and lefties. And so I would guess 3 years, you know, 40 to 50 million, somewhere in that ballpark would be my guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had in my mind, 315, maybe 350. It's just going to depend the market, too, if there's any other teams willing to go more than that, if there's any other teams that are looking at him to be an everyday type player. You know, he's essentially an everyday type player already, more so than Kike and Jock were, whereas he can hit against righties and lefties, and he can play pretty solid defense at multiple positions. So it'll be interesting to see, especially with all the shortstops that are going to be free agents. Maybe a team takes a guy like Chris Taylor, who could give you fairly similar production in certain cases compared to certain guys that might get more on the open market.
All right, next question. I guess maybe we'll intersperse these trade deadline questions. So let's go with a trade deadline related question from Tom @Gellendon't. Does it feel like over the last couple seasons, teams have required more from the Dodgers during the trade deadline, or is that just our Dodger fan bias overrating our own prospects? It just feels like some teams get players for cheap.
It does feel that way, and I can't honestly say that it's not a real thing, but I can't say that it is a real thing. I think we definitely know our prospects better, you know the Dodgers prospects better. We definitely understand which ones are expected to come up and help and which ones are not. And there's a lot of times where things get reported and then those things don't end up happening. So maybe we remember some of those reports. Like when the Dodgers were going after Manny Machado, remember some of the names that are being thrown around. And then when they ended up getting him, they ended up getting him for a bunch of guys that nobody really missed. Similar for other trades that they made, Yu Darvish as well. There was a bunch of names getting thrown around. We ended up getting him for somebody that probably didn't fit on the Dodgers roster anyway, and Willie Calhoun. You know, this might be a question tied to the Padres getting Adam Frazier for a little bit cheaper than maybe people thought. But the other part is that some front offices like guys and you maybe value them a little bit more than they value other people. You would think that you'd want players from the Dodgers farm system to come through and, you know, be part of your team because of where they've been brought up. But there's also the Dodgers have made a bunch of trades with some of these prospects and a lot of them haven't really panned out. So maybe it's a matter of if the Dodgers are trading away these guys, maybe that's why they don't want to, you know, acquire them, because it means the Dodgers are willing to part with them. So there's a lot of different factors to it. I definitely think there might be a small play in it of like just Dodger, the luxury tax, I guess, of trading with the Dodgers. But I think, honestly, it's probably more so made up in our heads than anything.
Yeah, you know, the old funny quote, I think it was Groucho Marx who said, I don't want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member. I feel like there's kind of that thing where teams are saying, I don't want any player that Andrew Friedman is willing to trade because there must be something wrong with him. And the other thing is, we don't actually have any specific actual examples of, we know that the Dodgers offered this and the other team accepted this other offer instead. You know, we have, when Yu Darvish went to the Padres, we were all saying the Dodgers could have matched that, you know, and so we have a lot of those. Surely the Dodgers could have matched that. Surely they could have matched that, but we don't actually have any examples of a team turning down a Dodgers offer to take a lesser offer. So it might just be in our heads.
Yeah, I mean, if the Dodgers didn't even make an attempt for Adam Frazier, then we can always say, oh, the Padres got him for cheap. But in regards to the Dodgers, who knows if they even made a play on it.
Yep.
All right, this one's right up your alley, so I'm going to ask you. At WebCav1 asks, do you think Lux is gone by Friday?
I don't, because he's injured, and players hardly ever get traded when they're injured. And he's also, he hasn't been very good this year. For the most part, he's had some hot streaks, but he hasn't been very good. And the Dodgers held off on trading Gavin Lux when he was a top prospect in baseball, when they could have gotten a ton for him. And right now, I think his value is roughly as low as it's been in the last few years. And so, I mean, maybe there's a team that really wants him. And if a team is willing to give, you know, top prospect value for Lux, maybe. But it seems like right now his value would be down to other teams, and so it's unlikely that the Dodgers could get what they consider fair value, and I don't think they've given up on him yet, so it doesn't seem likely that he will be in any trades, at least to me.
Yeah, we also had a question from at Evil Russian with 27s as the S's. He asked the same thing, but yeah, I agree with you, and the Dodgers have rarely traded somebody when their value is low or at its lowest, and Gavin Lux's value may not be at its lowest it's ever been, but it's definitely lower than it could be. So no reason to trade him there. We're going to come back and take on more of your questions, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Save time and money and use rockauto.com. Why choose to spend up to 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership when you can just get on your phone and head to rockauto.com, find that same piece or part, whatever you need, and get it cheap directly delivered to your door. Rock Auto is a family business that's been serving people online for over 20 years. The prices are reliably low for every customer, no matter if you're a mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer. They have everything you need, from tail lamps to motor oil and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. That's rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. All right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Jeff, we are back, and question is on you.
All right, let's go with Froze at Mr. Cold Froze. Who are your Dodgers prospects that are untouchable And then second question, our ideal playoff batting order if and when everyone is healthy.
Yeah, good question, and a very hopeful thought of if and when everyone is healthy. In terms of Dodger prospects that are untouchable, I mean, me personally, I would not want them to trade Diego Cartaya. I think Kieber Ruiz is the guy that we've kind of parted ways with in our mind and are ready to kind of see head out. And Cartaya has a couple years of development left to where when he comes up, Will Smith will be approaching free agency, and the Dodgers, you know, could have a decision to make if they want to bring someone up and, you know, if he gets too expensive, whatever the case is. But I think Cartaya might be one of the only ones that's maybe deemed untouchable right now just because of his youth and how well he's been doing so far this season. You know, you know, guys like Josiah Gray, he was technically still a prospect. I would imagine he's untouchable of sorts just because he's in the line, in the rotation currently. If they could get an arm for him, it would have to be pretty high arm up there for them to get rid of him. You know, Ryan Pepiot's really stepped up and been a guy, so maybe he's one of those ones that might be untouchable. But for me, yeah, I don't think anyone – this might be one of those years where no one's technically untouchable, and we'll see, you know, what Andrew Friedman does and what's available out there and how they sell. But, you know, Bobby Miller, probably not there yet, but he's had a really good year, and he's a top guy, so he might be on the borderline of that. But, yeah, I don't think there's too much untouchable. In terms of playoff batting order, I mean, I don't think there's any controversial – people that wouldn't be in the starting lineup. You got, I guess right now, Muncy at first, Lux at second, Seagrass short, Turner at third, and then you got Mookie and Pollock, and it would be a mix. Taylor's going to start against lefties, or at second base, and then start against righties in the outfield, switching out for Pollock and Lux. So that would be kind of the only person that the only shift and change, I guess, in a lineup. But, yeah, Jeff, I don't know if you have the same answer or not.
Yeah, I basically agree with that. You know, the Chris Taylor thing, alternating, you know, playing for Lux against lefties and for Pollock against righties. As for untouchable prospects, I agree with you. I don't think there's anybody who's really untouchable. There's guys who are practically untouchable because, like you said, Josiah Gray, it's unlikely that they would get enough value for Josiah Gray to make it worth it, since what they need is pitching. So it's like, if somebody said, we'll give you Max Scherzer and, you know, Trey Turner, then maybe it's like, okay, yeah, you know, we'll give up Josiah Gray because you fill two needs. But just getting Max Scherzer would not really even fill in. Obviously, Max Scherzer right at this moment is better than Josiah Gray. But long term, you know, is 2 months of Max Scherzer really worth 7 years of Josiah Gray? I don't think so. So, you know, nobody's really untouchable, but there are a few guys who are practically untouchable. But that is a change, because in the past, the Dodgers were never going to trade Corey Seager in 2014, 2015. You know, there have been guys who are literally untouchable, and I don't think there is anybody like that this year.
Yeah, so I mentioned mine. We'll go to the next question real quick. At CA Sports Dude, he asked the prospect that you value the most after Kiebert. He mentions he'd hate to lose Pepe after the way he's dealt this year. I already stated mine in Cartaya. I don't know if you're attached to any prospects that deeply, Jeff.
I don't know if I have quite the same attachment that you have to Diego Cartaya with anyone. I'm a big Cartaya fan, especially with, like you said, the way that it lines up. Timing wise, you know, that he will, although I think he's going to maybe force the issue. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him by the end of 2022 or, you know, early 2023 knocking on the door. And so there will be time when Will Smith is still on the roster. There will be a DH in the National League by then. So, you know, maybe that eases that a little bit, but so Diego Cartaya definitely excites me. Ryan Pepiot is definitely one that's exciting to me. I don't know. Yeah, there are plenty of guys who I'm excited for, but I mean, I remember in, you know, 2007 or in 2008 when the Dodgers called up Clayton Kershaw, I was excited because I was like on the Kershaw train at that point. And so, you know, so I remember when Kershaw got called up and I called my brother and I'm like, can you believe that Kershaw got called up? My brother's like, who's Clayton Kershaw? You know, and you know, so there have been guys like that. You know, Corey Seager was one I was like that with. You know, over the years there have been guys, and I don't think I have anybody right now, although I did make an effort to go to Josiah Gray's major league debut last week, so I guess I'm pretty excited about him. But you know, there's no Clayton Kershaw or Walker Buehler type right now for me, I don't think. All right. Next question, from Jason Rogers at J_Rogers2132. Is Corey Seager ever coming back?
I hope so. I would think that he'll be back. I was going to say before August, maybe last week, the way things were going, but it doesn't seem that way now. He's working to get back, I'm sure. I don't know if it's a matter of soreness or a matter of, you know, whatever the case may be. Before, they said he might not need a rehab assignment. Now they said he will need a rehab assignment. So it's definitely going to be at least a couple weeks, regardless of anything, of the absolute earliest he'll come back, which is why it makes kind of going after somebody that can play infield a little more prominent at the trade deadline, just because Lux might be out for a while. Seager, even when he comes back, you're not entirely sure what you're going to get. And we've seen Sheldon Noisy come up, not be able to hit, and we've seen other guys this year. There's not really anyone cooking in AAA or AA that's going to come up and help this team. So getting a short, not necessarily just a shortstop, but an infielder is definitely going to help. So, yes, Corey Seager will be back, but who knows how long exactly it's going to take.
Yep.
All right, Jeff, another question for you from at CHR Lopez 1021. He says, do you re-sign Clayton if they don't win the World Series, and do you re-sign him if they do win the World Series?
I'm pretty firmly in the camp of Clayton Kershaw needs to be a Dodger until he is no longer a Major League Baseball player. You know, it's obviously it comes down to what he wants and all of that. I do think maybe this injury, you know, by the end of the season, Clayton Kershaw's raw numbers, he's not going to be anybody's idea of peak Clayton Kershaw. And so I do think that he will be in line to take a pay cut. And, you know, I would assume that he would be on board with that. If they win a second World Series this year, you know, we said last year, it wouldn't have shocked us if Clayton Kershaw had said, sweet, I got my World Series, I'm going to retire now and be a dad. Some of the stuff that Kershaw talked about, you know, during the quarantine and being there with his kids and stuff, you know, I think Clayton Kershaw is, it's part of him is looking forward to being just a dad and spending all his time with his family. I don't know how Ellen's thinking about that. You know, I know that the wives aren't always on board with that as much as the husbands are, having the husband around all the time. But, you know, I think Kershaw most likely wants to keep playing, and I think he'll be on board with not making quite as much money. And so I don't see much reason for him or for the Dodgers for them to break up. So I think they'll re-sign him, and it will be a deal that is fair enough to both sides.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's go with from at @TVIBC_pastor. How do you spend your day when the Dodgers don't play?
Depends. If it's during the week, I still have to work. Although my job is a little bit different than most people, so me working means as long as I have my phone on me, I'm kind of always on the clock. So if I'm not working, I usually try to find something and plan stuff on off days, whether it's dinner or well, now that the movies are back open, or maybe, you know, I thought about going to go see Ohtani pitch today, but I didn't end up going. So just a matter of whatever's going on around that time or on that day or when it is. If not, now my new place, I have a pool, so I can just go hang out there if I want to during the day. So yeah, it's just a matter of finding stuff and trying to take advantage, since, you know, the Dodgers do take up majority of my life during the regular season.
Yeah, mine too. And, you know, I've got a wife and three kids, and so it can actually be, you know, I love baseball, I love the Dodgers, but with you and me doing this podcast every day, like, I kind of have to watch all the games, and it can be kind of a grind. So like today, it was really nice. There was no game. My older son is off at a camp out with some people from church, and my daughter was at her friend's house. It was just me and my wife and my younger son, and we just sat here and we watched the Olympics, watched the 17-year-old girl from Alaska win a gold medal in swimming, which was ridiculous. It was awesome, you know, just kind of spending time with the family and relaxing in a way that doesn't involve baseball is actually kind of a nice little break, because so much of my life does revolve around baseball on other days. So, and especially with the Olympics going on right now, we love watching the Olympics. And so that was a lot of fun for me.
All right. We still got a few questions that we're going to come back and answer. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And with baseball season in full swing, you can track all that action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, not just baseball. Pretty sure they got Olympics on there, UFC, MMA, whatever's coming up. NFL season is not that close, but close enough to where maybe you can start thinking or making some futures picks and see who's going to win the division or the Super Bowl, whatever the case may be. But before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the news, sign-up bonuses, contest information, and everything that BetOnline has to offer. Don't sit on the sidelines, as this is your chance to get into the game. Head to BetOnline right now on your laptop or mobile device and sign up, and you can get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Jeff, next question. I'm going to combine a few questions here that are all trade deadline and not too specific. From Lola the Hut, your GM of the Dodgers for a day. Tell us who you're going after and what you're willing to pay. From at LA Hardy, Mox Bliss, when are the Dodgers going to make a trade? At Brandon Colesto 1, who do you think the Dodgers are going to get?
You know, there's a reason I'm not a GM. Because there's a lot of jobs in baseball I think I could do pretty well. Commissioner of baseball, for example, hashtag Jeff for commissioner. I think I would be a much better field manager than a general manager because I don't know. I know what the Dodgers need, but as far as what I would give up for them, I have no idea. I think a lot of people have a lot of opinions on this, and I think if they were maybe a little bit more honest with themselves, they would recognize that they don't know any better than I do. I definitely am in favor of the Dodgers going after an elite starting pitcher, or at least potentially elite. You know, I would love to have Max Scherzer on the team. I am totally on the Max Scherzer train. I don't know what it's going to take to get him, and all I can say is I trust Andrew Friedman to either get a fair deal done or back away from the deal if there's not a fair deal to be had. I do think there are times when you overpay. And I would hope, I think with Friedman's MO is usually more to overpay in quantity instead of quality. You know, he gave up 5 guys for Manny Machado, gave up 3 guys for Yu Darvish, you know, but none of them were elite tier, you know. You know, if he could get Scherzer for 4 or 5, you know, mid-level prospects like he got with Machado, I'd be totally on board with that. But I don't know if that's realistic because, like I said, I don't know. So I'd love to see Jose Berríos. I don't know if the Twins' asking price is going to be realistic. I'd love to see Luis Castillo. Maybe that one's a little bit lower because he's actually been kind of bad at times this year. But, you know, in the end, I don't really have any idea what is likely to be a fair asking price for those guys. But I definitely would be targeting a starting pitcher and a reliever.
This year's, you know, not the weirdest year, but it is an interesting year. There are a lot of teams that have kind of fallen out in the last week, and now it's down to the last 5 days. The Nationals basically said everyone but Juan Soto's available. So, you know, it's a matter of do the Dodgers go get Trey Turner and maybe ask him to play second base when Seager comes back, and in case Lux takes longer and they, you know, overpay a little bit, get Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. I don't know. That's something that they could possibly do. And I don't doubt Andrew Friedman's not looking into different things like that. We've seen, you know, the Padres were reportedly inquired about Trevor Story and maybe thought about him playing center field. They ended up getting Adam Frazier, so maybe that's off the table now. But there's just a lot of different ways to go after guys, and I'm not, you know, like we talked about this farm system, it's not as stocked as before, which isn't necessarily a reason to go out and sell, but isn't necessarily a reason to not. You know, there's especially with all the pitchers taken, we've seen the position players struggle, which we'll get into in our next question, and it's just a matter of, you know, what the Dodgers need. But definitely starting pitcher, reliever, like you said, and I still think they need an infielder of some type, but that's easier said than done, especially when teams, you know, there's a lot of teams that are going to be after the same thing. Every team needs starting pitching. Every team needs relievers. But not every team needs infielders. So maybe that's one where they go after a top, maybe more of a high-level guy, and then they come back and get just a couple things to throw out the wall and see what sticks in terms of pitching. So we'll see what happens.
All right, next question from our buddy Pat Dwyer at The Real PJ Dwyer. What is your take on the performance of homegrown rookies this year versus previously under Andrew Friedman? clearly underperforming versus 2019 are both anomalies. What should we expect? And, you know, in 2019, there was, you know, Matt Beatty came up and did great. They had, you know, a lot of different guys who just came up and stepped in and filled these roles and were really, really good. And this year we've had Sheldon Noisy and DJ Peters and Luke Raley.
I mean, obviously it's a matter, we've talked about this a few times about the lack of a season last year. It's hard to get back into it, even with the guys that were playing at the alternate site. You know, we've talked to a few of them and they said it was cool that they were still able to work out, but it wasn't close to, you know, real time baseball. Those guys were working on things, weren't necessarily trying to get you out. It's just a different mentality and type of competition when you're doing that. So that's part of it. The other part of it is, I mean, these guys just aren't the quality that the Dodgers have had before. You know, Luke Raley, they had gotten rid of Luke Raley and then they got him back. So, you know, he's not necessarily a guy that was expected to do much. DJ Peters, as much as the power and everything has happened on his way up to AAA, we kind of knew that he was never going to be one of those guys, or we, you know, we thought he wasn't ever going to be one of those guys. And it proved right in the short sample we had. Not that it will never be somebody that can contribute, but he just wasn't ready this year. And I think it's just a matter of that combination with the fact that it's not as many good guys. I mean, you know, Cody Hosey and Michael Bush doing well, Cody Hosey struggling AA. If they had played High A or even got into Double A last year, then maybe they would be Double A and they'd be used to it. Maybe get into Triple A this year, maybe be on the cusp of trying to knock on the door and make some noise and not have Sheldon Noisy be the call up when they need an infielder from the minor league. So there's a combination of a few things. I think it all added up to the Dodgers just didn't have the depth so far, and it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, we saw that they took so many pitchers in this year's draft. They took a lot of pitchers in last year's short draft. So it's a matter of maybe the pitching is going to be the strength over the next few years, and maybe they use that some of that depth in order to get better position players, or just, you know, roll with the guys that they have. They do have a core of position players that are kind of already entrenched, at least for the next few years. So it might be a matter of those guys have to carry the load.
Yeah, and, you know, I do think, like you said, it's a different group of players. And, you know, in 2019, Alex Verdugo was really, really good, but also that was his third season. Like, they tried it in 2017, they tried it in 2018, and so it's not like he came out of nowhere. Matt Beatty was good and kind of did come out of nowhere. He's like the most notable one. Will Smith, he was a top prospect, you know, he was very highly touted. And so, you know, but there are also guys who weren't good. Gavin Lux came up in 2019, wasn't very good. Edwin Rios, you know, he had a good OPS because he hit four home runs. You know, but he struck out 40% of the time. You know, he really struggled at times, looked overmatched by major league pitching. Kyle Garlick, remember, he used to exist and he was bad, you know, or, you know, he had some moments, but again, he was mostly carried by, hit a few home runs and, I think hit a home run off Bumgarner, right? Maybe even two that game.
Yeah.
And so we remember those things, but, you know, then he was traded because he wasn't actually very good. And so, you know, I think Alex Verdugo and Will Smith really carry that 2019 load and, you know, make it seem like overall the Dodgers rookies were better in 2019 than they were. It just so happened that they had two of their top prospects who kind of came into their own that year.
Staying on a similar topic, next question from @RealGageFreeman. He says, DJ Peters has to be better than some of the current call-ups, right? He's asking for the city of Glendora.
You know, you would like to think so. DJ Peters, I've been surprised the Dodgers didn't trade DJ Peters for a couple of years now, because I've always kind of viewed DJ Peters as a fourth outfielder on a team that doesn't plan on winning the World Series. And that's not the Dodgers. I don't think DJ Peters is a major league starting outfielder. I think he can do a lot of things for you. He can play good defense, you know, if you need him as late inning defensive replacement. If you, you know, want to bring him in because you have a left-handed reliever off the bench, you know. And I do think that DJ Peters is better than what he showed in the major leagues this year. But I don't think that he is a starting major league outfielder, at least for a team like the Dodgers that wants to win the World Series. So I fear that they may have missed their window to get much of value for him in previous years. But, you know, yeah, I don't think I think the city of Glendora is going to need to find somebody else. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like you mentioned, he's a better defender than some of these guys, Raley, Rex, and everyone else. But not necessarily a better hitter. And as bad as the other guys have looked, that's more of a sign on his. I kind of think of him, not entirely comparable, but a guy like Scott Schebler, who left the Dodgers, went to go be a full-time guy in Cincinnati 1 year, hit 30 home runs, but didn't do much else. Didn't even OPS 800 with those 30 home runs and struck out 125 times. I think he's one of those guys where if he goes to a struggling team, he can probably play every day and hit 25, 30 home runs, but that's not with the Dodgers.
All right, next question from Zach at Dodger Zach. If the Dodgers had to pick either a starting pitcher or a reliever at the deadline, what do you think is more important? And Zach says, personally, I think it's starting pitcher. I would also like to see some bench bats added since their cost will be likely next to nothing.
Short answer, starting pitcher. I think with the guys coming back and with Nelson already back, that their bullpen isn't as much of an issue right now. And the fact when you do get a starting pitcher, you're adding another bullpen arm just by the addition of and pushing someone out of the starting rotation. So starting pitcher.
Yeah. I was just going to say, if you do add a starting pitcher instead of a reliever, you know, that opens up some real possibilities for a guy like JoJo Gray, who's kind of proven, you know, oh, he can do this at the big league level at least a little bit. And they might actually be interested in him as kind of a long reliever, kind of that role that Gonsolin and May filled in the postseason last year of a, you know, a spot starter or a piggyback starter or something. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see JoJo Gray filling that role this October.
All right, last question from our pal at SoCal_librarian. Why can't the Dodgers stay healthy?
It's the question of the year, really. And I think the answer is some combination of short season last year. And that applies to everybody. But I think while it does apply to everybody, it's also the answer here. You know, and so maybe it's just that the Dodgers have had worse luck. You know, and Corey Seager, his broken hand, that was bad luck. That wasn't, you know, Seager has had some injuries in the past. This was not an injury-prone thing. This was Corey Seager getting hit on the hand by a pitch. You know, nothing you can do about that. And then there's other things. You know, Cody Bellinger's hamstring apparently is going to have issues for a while. Mookie Betts, we don't know how much Mookie's hip has been bothering him all year, but we've been speculating since April that Mookie might not be totally healthy. And so, you know, it's just kind of that lingering thing. Dustin May, it seems like his injury is very clearly attributable to the short season last year, probably. And you've got a lot of all these pitching injuries. Yeah, it probably has a lot to do with the weird last year and a half. And maybe it's maybe it is worse for the Dodgers than for other teams for some reason. But I think, unfortunately, the answer is just bad luck. But the good news is, bad luck, there's no reason why that would continue. So if it is just bad luck, there's every reason to think that the luck will turn around and they'll get neutral luck the rest of the way, which would probably mean most of their guys healthy in October. And that's honestly the most important thing. Obviously, we really want them to win the division because that wild card play-in game is scary. But I do think they're going to win the division. And if they can win the division and then be healthy in October, they're the favorites to repeat as World Series champions.
I remember earlier in the year, a lot of people kept blaming the short season last year for all the injuries. And for me, it didn't quite make sense because people were saying this like 30, 40 games in. And it's like, all right, well, it's not like they played 20 games last year. They played 60 games. They maybe had, you know, they had that weird break in between spring training and the regular season. But even with that, I didn't think much of it earlier. Now that the fact they're getting deeper into it, it makes a little bit more sense. And yeah, I think you just nailed it on the head. Bad luck, you know, hamstrings aren't necessarily always a matter of anything. It might just be bad luck or a little tweak. You know, Bellinger's injury earlier in the year was just bad luck, getting run into over there at first base on a weird play. You know, McKinstry was an oblique, and, you know, obliques can happen almost any time. I've seen a lot of people hurt their obliques in different ways, and not necessarily because they didn't play a full season last year. So, yeah, just bad luck. But like I said, neutral luck the rest of the way will be better than what anything we can expect.
Yep. Yeah, we can just pray for the neutral luck. They should make a t-shirt that just says pray for neutral luck.
I'm going to have to think that. I'm going to get that up there. All right, Jeff, those are all the questions. We had a lot of great questions, a lot of variety of questions. So thank you for that. Jeff, you got anything else before we head out and start this three-game series with the Giants?
Nothing major, just two little bits of news that kind of slipped through. The Dodgers last week DFA'd both Andy Burns and Jake Reed. Andy Burns has been released, and Jake Reed was claimed by the Rays. So both of them are currently out of the Dodgers organization. It's entirely possible that Burns could re-sign a minor league contract with the Dodgers like Steven Souza Jr. did. But as of right now, they're both out of the Dodgers organization.
There you go. All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to tell your friends and family. Make sure to tell someone you haven't told before about Locked On Dodgers. We're trying to find new listeners, find new subscribers, find new followers. So make sure to let them know. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff has graciously put up a bobblehead for giveaway on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. So go check that out. Retweet that tweet and get entered to win. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Amperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!